Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we are looking at the Spirit-filled life, walking in the Spirit. And I would like to begin reading there in verse 19. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves, and by the way, remember where we started with this. Go back there, if you would, just for a moment. In verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit, not with the things of this world, certainly not wine. But then he's going to tell us, being filled with the Spirit, that is the same as walking in the Spirit each and every day. It's not something we do once and we arrive there. It's something we do every single day. Every single day we have to make sure that we are walking in the Spirit. And then what happens as a result we see coming up next. Notice verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray now and ask the Lord to do a work in our hearts today. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for the privilege to share your word. And God, I pray that you would just remove me out of the way and that you would have your will and way in our hearts today, Lord, that we would also respond accordingly. And Lord, that we would take these truths and principles that we learn from your word and that we would apply them to our hearts and lives. And Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray, Lord, that today would be that day and that you would make salvation very clear through that individual. And we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do through the preaching of your word in Christ's holy name. Amen. We started this last week, and here in our text, we see the results of a Spirit-filled life. And that's what he's giving us here. You know, don't be intoxicated with the things of the world. And he just so happened to use wine there, so we should not be intoxicated with wine. I did two sermons on that 3-4 weeks ago, and you can go back and listen to those. But the idea is that we would be filled with the Spirit of God. But understand, when we trusted Christ, we received all of the Holy Spirit that we're ever going to receive. There's not more of the Holy Spirit. There's more growing in our lives that has to take place. But we received all of the Holy Spirit, not part, but all. And so, here in our text, as he's told us, you know, don't be intoxicated with the things of the world, but be filled with the Spirit, or walk in the Spirit, be filled with the things of God. And as a result of being filled with the Spirit, as a result of walking in the Spirit of God, these are the things that will happen. And so we see it here from last week, which are singing, saying thanks, and submitting our humility. In other words, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we're at peace with ourselves singing. We're at peace with God saying thank you. And we're at peace with each other submitting. And that's what we saw at the beginning of this last week. We learned that singing is the first result of being filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And keep in mind, we will sing God's music for all of eternity. Listen, one day, my job of preaching will be over, but singing will continue. We will continue singing throughout all of eternity. And it's a huge part. And I encourage you, sing during the song service. Listen to the words of the hymns. Those hymns, the old hymns of the faith that was written after God's word. And I encourage you to sing along because that, hey, if you don't like singing here, I don't know if you're going to like heaven because there's going to be lots of singing in heaven. So get used to it here and take advantage of singing when we sing as a congregation together. But we'll sing from the heart for all of eternity. And we'll sing unto the Lord. And now I want you to notice. So we're going to see this morning and this afternoon the results. Now I gave you part of the first one last week of being singing, that we would sing. And it's true, when people are at peace, it's not uncommon for them to sing or to whistle or just to be happy in the Lord. Now go back to verse 20. He said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks is the second result of a spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled people are thankful people. We are thankful if we are filled with the Spirit, not thankful if we're not walking in the Spirit. And this morning, I want you to see the perception of this thanksgiving. It's perceived in several different ways. And I want you to see this from two different angles. We're going to see the perception of thanksgiving, and I want you to see the pattern of thanksgiving. And keep in mind, being filled with the Spirit is the result of saying thank you, thanks. First, notice the perception of thanksgiving. Most people usually perceive thanksgiving in one of three ways. Well, the first perception represents the self-sufficient. You know, some people, they view themselves as self-sufficient, and they view giving thanks as unnecessary. And this is an unthankful spirit, of course. In their minds, they deserve everything. They own it. They worked for it. They provided it. It's the mentality that says, you know what, I worked for it, I own it, it's mine, I don't have to say thank you. I deserve it. And we see this in the parable of the rich farmer. In the parable of the rich farmer, he was arrogant, he was ungrateful for his prosperity. And what happened? Well, as he looked around and realized his great bounty, in his mind, immediately goes back to himself. He goes back to all about him. And he deserved what he had. He had worked for it in his mind. So then what does he do? He devised a plan to build bigger and better barns. Why? Well, because unthankful people are usually greedy people. And the thought of sharing his prosperity never even crossed his mind. He says, you know what, I'm just going to pull down this barn and build a bigger barn. It was all about him. And on the contrary, you know, most thankful people are giving people. Most people that have a spirit of thanksgiving and they're thankful, usually they are giving people. Because they realize everything they have belongs to God. Everything. It all belongs to God. Why? Because they know that's where it came from in the first place. They know it was not themselves that provided this. It was God and God alone. You see, spirit-filled believers are thankful. And they are blessed in giving. And they enjoy giving. That is a spirit-filled person. It's a continuous, never-ending cycle. And then the rich farmer said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Luke 12:19. And he took all the credit for his prosperity. Therefore, he saw no need to give thanks. He did it in his mind. And the consideration of God was never even a thought in his mind. It was never even in the equation. And because of his unthankful arrogance, God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then, whose shall those things be which thou hast provided. Who's going to get them then? You see, we can't take anything with us. In other words, you did not have the power to produce your possessions, nor do you have the power to protect your possessions, and nor do you have the power to take them with you when you leave this life. We take nothing with us. You know, really, this is a form of practical atheism that fails to acknowledge God. He fails totally in acknowledging God. And the real problem was not his unthankful heart. The real problem was his unbelieving heart. He was an unbeliever. And an unthankful heart is usually preceded by an unbelieving heart. So the first perception represents the self-sufficient. Giving thanks is unnecessary in their mind. The second perception, this represents the self-righteous. The self-righteous, and this individual, he gives thanks to himself. We see this in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Would you go over to Luke chapter 18, please? Luke chapter 18 for a moment. We're going to come back to Ephesians. Luke chapter 18. Go down there to verse 9. Notice verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he goes on, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And he says here, well, look here. This Pharisee was proud of himself, bragging on himself before the Lord. And, you know, there's nothing more obnoxious than a continual bragging spirit. I don't know how you feel about it. I know it can really rake on my nerves to just say continual bragging spirit. And you know the problem ultimately there. And there are true believers that have that issue. And the real problem there is they need a certain amount of certification from others. They need that approval. And why do they need that approval? Because they're not focused on Christ. And so they look for the approval of men by continually bragging over and over and over on themselves. And even though the Pharisee used God's name, his thankfulness was really to himself and for himself. It was a self-righteous prayer. And God will have no part of that. He has no part of that kind of prayer. Self-righteous thanks is worthless. There's no worth there. There's no humility there. And that's part of what we're leading up to. We are going to sing, we're going to say thanks, and we are going to submit. And that idea of submitting is really speaking of humility, having a humble spirit. And you know how that goes. Don't claim to be humble, because you certainly will not be. It's just something that we strive privately before the Lord to do the best we can to honor and glorify Him. And so even though the Pharisee used God's name, his thankfulness was really to himself and for himself. And listen, it was a self-righteous prayer. It was a self-righteous prayer, and God is not going to be a part of that. God knows us better than we know ourselves, okay? We can't impress God by lifting ourselves up before God. He knows who we are. And so it was a self-righteous prayer, and it happened to be this self-righteous thank you is worthless. But on the contrary, the humble, penitent tax collector was justified. Why? Because of his humility. And listen, if we truly want to be thankful, it's not the idea of just stirring up a spirit of thanksgiving in our heart. It's the idea of practicing humility. And this will only happen when we're continuously walking in the Spirit of God. And then notice the third perception. This represents the Spirit-filled man. This represents the individual who's walking in the Spirit. And they give sincere thanks to God. And we see this in the healing of the 10 lepers. Go over, if you would please, back one page there in Luke to chapter 17. And I want you to see, go down there to verse 11. Actually, we'll go to verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 of you? Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Verse 18. They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now all 10 of the men were healed. They were all healed by the Lord Jesus, all 10 lepers. But only one was saved. And that was the man who gave thanks. The other 9 were unthankful, and again, an unthankful heart is usually the evidence of an unbelieving heart. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it tells us, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then he tells Timothy that we are going to see the day come when we live in the day of unthankfulness and people not saying thank you. You know, it's important to say thank you. We don't do things that people would say thank you, but it is good character to return thanks first to God. And if your fellow man helps you or blesses you in some way, it is good character to say thank you or to send a thank you note. It goes a long way. It's interesting how he goes on to say that neither were they thankful. You see, being thankful before the Lord is very important to God. It is very important. And I tell you what can change your place and your lot in life quicker than anything. Start being thankful. Wherever you are, maybe you say, well, I don't like my lot in life. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like having to deal with the things I'm dealing with on my job. I just have a difficult life. Well, then think of everything you have to be thankful for. Start thanking God for those things, and you'll see your life change. It's so important to have a thankful spirit. Also notice, the true essence of giving thanks is really about giving God glory. It's about returning the glory unto Him, not ourselves. It's giving Him the glory. Now, the very entrance to the presence of God is thanksgiving. That's how we enter into His presence. Giving thanks. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. So the password to the presence of the Lord Jesus is thank you. Thank you, Lord. That has a way of getting His attention. Just like when you've done something for your children, be it your small children or your adult children or whatever the case, you always appreciate when they say, thank you. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. And by the way, teach your kids to say thank you. We live in that world today that Paul was teaching about to Timothy. We're going to live during the day of truce breakers and those unthankful people. They're not thankful. Somebody does something kind for you, say thank you. It's important. But most importantly, say thank you to God. And that's the perception of thanksgiving. The self-sufficient, giving thanks to them is unnecessary. The self-righteous gives thanks to himself. The spirit-filled gives sincere thanks to God. And next, I want you to see the pattern here of thanksgiving. Notice the pattern. Go back to our text in Ephesians and notice down in verse 20. Paul tells us here. He tells us when to give thanks. What to give thanks for. Whom do we give our thanks and how we are to give our thanks. He answers those questions here in verse 20. Notice, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There. He answered every one of those questions. This is how we give thanks. This is who we give thanks to. And when are we to give thanks? According to this verse, always, for all things. Always, for all things, even when you have a flat tire. You don't know, the Lord could have allowed that flat tire to avoid you from being in a wreck down the road. Just to always be thankful for everything that comes into our lives because God has allowed it and He has a purpose for those things that He allows into our lives. Because this is the will of God. Notice 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Be thankful. Have a thankful spirit. Giving thanks always recognizes that God is in control. Not me, not you, but God is in control of our lives. He's the one calling the shots in every detail. He is the provider. He is the one meeting our needs. It's allowing God to conform us to the image of Christ. So, why does He have us say thank you? You ever thought of that? Why is it so important to say thank you? That is the gauge of where we're walking spiritually. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to say thank you. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be thankful as you should be. And to be unthankful disregards the will of God. You see, the Lordship of Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit, all of this centers back around that individual who's willing to give thanks to God, who's willing to be thankful for what God brings into their lives. And when God brings trials and difficulties into our lives, and we complain and grumble, you know what we're really doing at that point? When we complain and grumble and whine, I hope I hate, I wish. You know, I don't understand. You know, all these questions start to arise. And really what we're doing when we grumble and we complain, what we're doing is questioning God's love for us. That's really what we're doing. So we need to consider that next time we want to complain, or next time we have that grumbling spirit instead of a spirit of thanksgiving, next time we need to remember what I'm really doing when I grumble and complain. I'm questioning God's love for me. Now listen, when we give thanks, according to this verse, it's the idea of being right with Christ, being right in His eyes, walking with Christ with that spirit of humility that does say thank you. Rarely will a proud person say thank you. And when do we do this? When do we give thanks? It's a great indicator of our spiritual maturity. In other words, at what point are you not able to give thanks? Where are you? At what point can you not say thank you? It's a great thermometer for our spiritual maturity. But also, the immature believer will give thanks after the battle or after they've been blessed. Like the children of Israel back in Exodus chapter 15. However, the maturing believer, the individual who's growing in Christ, they're maturing in Christ, they're being conformed to the image of Christ, they will give thanks before the battle or before they've been blessed. And thanking God before a blessing is a lot more difficult than thanking God after a blessing. This requires more faith. We often pray, and when we pray, we will thank God in advance. God, I want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do here in this upcoming revival. I want to thank you in advance. That's praying, believing. And thanking God before a blessing, it can be much more difficult than thanking God after the blessing. Like King Jehoshaphat over in 2 Chronicles 20. The mature believer will give thanks during the battle, in the midst of the testing, in the midst of the trial. That person who can say thank you during the middle of the battle, that's a maturing Christian. Thank you, Lord. I don't understand this, but Lord, I just want to thank you for bringing this into my life. I know you have a purpose. Thank you, Lord. It's like Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. And it's the idea that, you know what, I'm going to be thankful. I'm just going to do what's right. And really what it comes back to is putting our full trust in the Lord Jesus for our every need. Philippians 4:19 tells us that He will supply our every need in Christ Jesus. He's going to supply the things we need. And by the way, He knows more about your needs than you do. He knows more about my needs than I do. He knows all about that. He's well aware, much more than I am. And so first, when we do give thanks, it's the idea that, Lord, I want to grow. I am showing this humility. I want to grow in you. I am not self-sufficient. I cannot provide for myself. God, I rely totally on you. And it's the idea of when do we give thanks as always? For all things, always. And he goes on to say, for what are we to give thanks? He answers the question, everything, for all things. And listen, the greatest gift we can give to God is a thankful heart. In fact, giving thanks is really all we can give back to God. Giving thanks. You say, well, what about giving praise? Well, praise is really just another form of giving thanks. Well, what about giving tithes and offerings? Well, that too. That too is a way of giving thanks. What about serving? Well, just another way of saying thank you. Lord, thank you. I greatly appreciate what you've done for me. I don't deserve what you've done for me. And Lord, as a token of my appreciation and a thank you for my for what you've done for me, I want to serve you. I want to give back to your work. I want to glorify you, Lord. And so you say, well, what about the individual who is not walking in the Spirit and they're not thankful as they should be? Would that indicate that they're lost immediately? No, because we can all drop the ball. We've all had those days that are not good, and we're all still in the flesh. It can happen. So I don't want you to misunderstand me and think that if someone has an occasion where they're not thankful for something, I'm not saying that, well, that person's just lost. Now, if it's a trend of unthankfulness over and over and over again, now that's an issue. But we can all have those difficult times in life that we don't always behave as we should. And, you know, usually our giving back to God in thanksgiving is for the temporal things he's provided for us here on earth, right? That's usually what we're thanking him for. But you know what? Most importantly, we should be thankful for the eternal things. Those things still to come. The eternal things that he has promised us. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. You know, Jesus said, instead of hoarding all of your earthly treasures, instead of hoarding your money, invest it into the kingdom of God. It's the greatest investment you can make in this world, the kingdom of God. Why? Because earthly treasures, they're all temporal. They're all temporary, and they will go away, and one day they'll be burned up with this earth, and we'll not take those things with us. But the things that will be a part of our eternal life are the opportunities we took to serve God, and he was able to use that in the life of another. Listen, you can't go down to a car dealership. We enjoy, everybody loves the game of Monopoly, and it's fun to buy up the hotels and those houses and everything, and you've got that fake money, and you know what? You can't take, once that game is over, you can't take those blue, orange, and pink bills down to a car dealership and buy a car. Not going to work. You can't buy a car with that money. Monopoly money can't do a thing for you in the real world. And when we get to heaven, our earthly treasure can't do one thing for us. It will be worthless. No value whatsoever. Our earthly treasures can't do a thing for you and me in eternity. But you know what will be of value in the kingdom and continue for all of eternity? Our singing, giving thanks, and submitting. This will continue throughout all of eternity. The idea that we're going to sing and praise God. Read Revelation 5 this afternoon. When you get a chance, you'll see more about that as we gather around the throne of the Lord Jesus. We will sing with flawless voices. Some of you should say amen right there, okay? We will sing with flawless voices. We will give thanks with true sincerity. And we will submit without the hindrance of our flesh. You know, listen, the greatest hindrance to submitting to Christ and others is our flesh. That's the greatest hindrance. Won't it be wonderful one day in eternity to be released from this flesh? I've often thought, we're probably going to look back and we're going to think to ourselves, how was I able to even stand that? To be caught in that flesh like that. And I believe we're going to have such a sense of freedom. Brother Andrew and I were speaking about this after Sunday school this morning, that, in salvation, there are three tenses: past, present, and future. The past was when we were justified. Our present is being sanctified, and one day in eternity, we will be glorified. That's the three tenses of our salvation. And listen, we'll sing with those flawless voices, we'll give thanks with sincerity, and we will not be hindered by this flesh. To God be the glory. And since giving thanks will continue throughout eternity, Paul said, start now. Start today. Start right now by giving thanks for all things. And the only way we can do that is to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, to walk in the Spirit day by day. We never arrive. It's not something we do once and forget about it. It's something that we have to do every single day in our lives. We have to every day take up our cross, follow Jesus, die to self. It's a matter of following Him, and it's something that has to happen every day. The Spirit-filled believer sees God's gracious hand even in the difficult trials. He thanks God for a job, even if it's a demanding, unfulfilling job. He's still thankful that he has a job. He's thankful for those trials that come into his life, those things he can't control. He thanks God for his health, even if it's bad. He thanks God for difficult people. He even thanks God in the face of tragedy. Now, that's a hard one. In the face of tragedy, the loss of a child, a loved one, unexpectedly, and you say that, that's really tough to be able to say thank you for that at that moment. But God had a purpose. And we can always see God's hand in all of that. If we look close enough, we'll see God's hand. And we'll see where he was working all along. He thanks God even for his health when his health is bad. And by the way, it's so easy when someone's health is in a chronic situation of constant pain and struggling. It can be really difficult for those people to be kind or to be pleasant, to be around. And it's because of how they feel. They hurt and they're in constant pain. I learned that years ago when I was working for PSA, delivering medical supplies and oxygen to homebound patients that couldn't get out. And, I realized that many of those people were really sweet people. They didn't always feel sweet. They didn't always act sweet. And some could be really mean. And I'm sure that you probably experienced that in the dialysis world. And having to go every day for some of those people to go every day for dialysis. And you can imagine how do you find yourself in that position to where you can say thank you going to dialysis every day? Now, boy, that's a challenge. But we can say thank you. This is the Spirit-filled man. He will say thank you even in the face of tragedy, even when it doesn't make sense, because he understands it's for God's glory. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. Would you go over there, please? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. And notice what he says here. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. And then we think of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Listen, giving thanks is the means of giving God the glory. And by the way, that is our motto here at Victory Baptist, all to the glory of God. Whatever we come to do in our lives should always be for God's glory. To glorify God is to thank Him no matter how much we may hurt. To glorify God is to thank Him no matter how disappointed we are. To glorify God is to thank Him even in the face of tragedy, knowing that He has a purpose for that. You see, the lack of giving thanks comes from pride. The thought that we deserve something better than what we already have. That's pride. But God, I don't understand. Why, Lord God, why can't I have a new car? You know, I've been driving this piece of junk forever. Why, Lord, why can't I have a new car? And we, if we're not cautious, we'll catch ourselves thinking like that. Now, I'm not speaking of my truck. I love my little truck that's almost 30 years old. And I've decided when the engine stops, I'm just going to get a donkey to pull me in the truck. It's been the most reliable vehicle I've ever had. I'm very thankful for that little truck. The lack of giving thanks comes from a prideful spirit. And the pride of Adam and Eve led them to believe Satan's lie, that they deserved more than they had. And that they had, a right to be like God. Wow. The greatest sin of humanity is pride. And that was the ultimate sin there in the garden, pride. To be like God. And the only cure for pride is humility. To whom are we to give thanks? God the Father. Because we're told in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Listen, the Spirit-filled believer realizes everything he has comes from God. Therefore, he doesn't spend his prayer time worrying to God. His prayer time, her prayer time, is not going through a worry list. Make sure you have a prayer list, not a worry list. I think sometimes we just go before God and we're just reciting our worries. It's okay to tell God our worries, but you know what? Let's practice intercessory prayer. Let's pray for the brethren. Let's pray for the gospel to go forth. And listen, there's so much more that we can pray for besides just our daily physical needs. So much more. The Spirit-filled believer, he realizes all he has comes from God. And he spends his prayer time in intercessory prayer and supplication. Instead of being disgruntled, or Lord, why can't I have this? He fills his prayers with thanksgiving. And that's the idea Paul had in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 when he said, be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Did you see that? And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Listen, it all comes back to having a thankful heart. Don't be anxious. Boy, do we live in a world of anxiety today, right? Everybody has anxiety. I mean, really, it's just an anxiety-driven world. And I'll tell you, a lot of that has come about because of technology is a great thing. And I'm very thankful for technology. But I'll also tell you this. It's really, in many ways, it's dumbed us down in ways that we rely on that and that alone, and then we find ourselves in the social media or in the newscast, and we're reading very dark things that are bad, that can put you in a dark place. And I think a lot of that's what causes the anxiety of people today. Listen, when I remember growing up as a kid back in the 70s, what did we do? We rode our bicycles. It was every day we were out riding our bicycles. Especially in the summertime, we would ride our bikes all over the city of Warner Robins. And when's the last time you saw a kid out on a bicycle? Anybody? You don't see that anymore. Because everyone's on their device. And I truly believe this is a large part of what's spurred on this epidemic of anxiety in so many people. Filled with anxiety. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, it's interesting to note that all of the feasts and festivals of Israel were set for a spirit of thanksgiving, all of them. All of them came back to the idea of giving God thanks. It was all about thanksgiving. The whole purpose of every commemorative feast, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets and Pentecost, the Feast of Passover, were all national acts of thanksgiving. And how do we give thanks? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanking God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? 1 Timothy 2:5. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is the only mediator. We no longer have to go to the high priest, or we no longer have to go and speak to a man to receive forgiveness as he would make atonement for the sins of Israel. We now can go directly to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the individual who is not in Christ, they can't give thanks for all things because they're not given that promise. They're not given the promise that all things work together for good. But for the believer, they can thank God in the face of tragedy and great trial because they know God will use it for good somehow, some way. God will meet their need at the end of all of it. In Christ, we can thank Him for the good things and the bad things, because we know that's how we are going to be conformed to the image of Christ. And we know the outcome will be good. Listen, no matter what happens in our life, we can give thanks because of who Christ is and what He has done. And by the way, this life is so temporal. It's such a temporary thing. And it's going faster and faster every day. I'm not trying to discourage you, but it is. Very fast. Life goes by quick. You know, it's just amazing. We were visiting with Skip, Brother Skip and Miss Vicky yesterday, and Miss Elsie Rivers. And you know, I preached her husband's funeral 4 years ago. It seemed like yesterday. I preached Brother Bill Fletcher's funeral 4 years ago. It seems like yesterday. I want to tell you something, folks. This life is fleeting by very quickly. Today is the day to be thankful. With this, and I'll close. A missionary in London City was called to an old tenement house to assist a dying lady. The missionary prayed with her and did all that he could to help her. And then he asked the dying lady, he said, is there anything you need? And this is what she said from the lips of a dying lady. She said, and I quote, I have all I really need. I have Jesus. The missionary never forgot those words, and later he wrote, in the heart of London City, mid the dwellings of the poor, these bright golden words were uttered. I have Christ. What want I more? Spoken by a lonely woman dying on a garret floor, having not one earthly comfort. I have Christ. What want I more? He who heard them ran to fetch her something from the world's great store. It was needless. Died she saying, I have Christ. What want I more? Oh, my dear, my fellow sinner, high or low, rich or poor, can you say with deep thanksgiving, I have Christ. What want I more? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your provisions. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are conforming us to your image through these different trials, through these different things that we face in this life. Lord, help us to be aware of the fact this life is going quickly. And Lord, we see that these things, singing, saying thanks, and submitting, these things are the result of a person who walks in your spirit. And one day in eternity, that will make a difference. Lord, teach us to be thankful. Teach us, Lord, even in the face of tragedy, we know that you work all things for good, for your children. You're in control. Help us to completely and fully trust you. And in turn, you will conform us to your image. And God, I pray that whatever we do here in this life, we would make sure that we are doing things that would make a difference in eternity. That would make a difference in someone else's life. Lord, please help us not to just live for this life in this world. Help us not to just live in the temporal. But Lord, help us to live in the eternal. And Lord, should there be someone here today who has never trusted you as Savior, they've never believed on you, Lord, I pray that they'd settle that in their hearts today. They don't have to walk an aisle. They don't have to do anything special. Just simply believe. You tell us, Lord, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, we know it's not a prayer that saves anyone. And that's really a call from the heart. When we have that heart call, believing that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the living Son of God, the Savior of the world, died on the cross, was buried 3 days, and he rose again. That's salvation. And if we could help anyone that would need to speak about that, Lord, we would gladly do that. We're certainly not here for a show. We're not here to sensationalize. We just want to see you do a work, Lord, in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do. In Christ's holy name, with heads bowed,